okay, just run and lean and run and mean.
Yeah.
I love that, dude. Today on The Latest Development, we've got Robin, a new friend and acquaintance, co-founder of Raikou, who just so happens to be helping us with Solana and leveling their game. A lot of work on the validator side, a lot of helping the issues of landing transactions. So, Robin,
yes.
Welcome aboard the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
Excited.
Congratulations on the recent raise. Stoked to see you guys with Renault Partners. Love those guys.
Renault Partners is great. Yeah, we announced the fundraise, $13.5 million, led by Pantera, quite recently. I think it was last Tuesday. So that's nice. It was a good hello world moment. Finally, we can say what we're all on about.
So that's good.
We're rolling out quickly. I guess some context, Raikou started initially as a research project, but then it turned out to a business. April 24, hired the first engineer in July. So it's been running for roughly a year and a half, but now we're ready. Now we're ready to roll out updates, products quickly.
I love it. You caught me off guard. I remember we did a little phone tag, me and your comms team, setting a podcast up, and it kind of fell to the wayside. And then one day I was doing a little bit of research, and I was trying to figure out like high frequency trading and how Solana can bring that on chain. And so I was doing a little Googling on Twitter, and literally Raikou came up, and I was like, oh yeah, I got a conversation with these guys going already. And so I like jumped back in and was like, hey, like, let's re-up on this. Let's get a conversation going. And so
nice.
Before we get into, you know, how Raikou can help make those things possible, I want to know, give me the one liner for Raikou first to bring us into the podcast. And then I want to talk a little bit about you.
Yeah. The easiest way to describe Raikou in a one-liner is you can achieve enterprise level reliability and scalability, which in simple words means your transactions will land when you plan for them to land. So you have a lot more ability to create more sophisticated products and then scale them to traditional markets because you can look ahead of time, right? And that's Beautiful. How you achieve the enterprise stuff.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Makes me giddy. Before we get into why that makes me giddy, I want to know more about Robin. I want to know what about your prior experiences brought you to Raikou, and is having you build a product that essentially is in between. You know, you're helping projects get to, like you just said, that institutional grade performance. So what did you do prior? What got you here? What was the aha moment that Raikou came from?
Yeah, so I used to run a fintech startup when I lived in Norway. This was 2014. Were great engineers. Some of the former core engineers from Opera, the browser, if you still remember that one. I saw Ethereum at the time, and I thought, wow, what a wonderful thing. And I wanted to adopt that as infrastructure rails for this saving and investment platform that we were making. But it wasn't quite the time, because back then the network Ethereum was very, you know, it was early stage. It was a baby. But it got me hooked. And I entered crypto properly in late 2015 with initial focus on consensus R&D. Spent most of my time working with early stage projects in Ethereum. We were all running around like headless chickens trying to figure out what to do, right? So I've always been involved in this early stage phase of projects. Then I decided to join this accelerator based in London, all helping early stage founders like in pre-seed, Series A, on developing their project, whatever it was. I specialized in infrastructure, but touched many different things. And I got to learn that I really love helping other founders to achieve the probability of success. Now, whatever that means, because it's a beautiful journey, full of chaos and emotions. And in order to be good at it, first you need to know people, but you also need to know the industry inside out and details for whatever you're making. But after doing that for a while in venture development and investment, as primarily an engineer, I started to see, you see patterns, you see trends, and this was late 23, just for context. I noticed that, you know, if we don't do something new, bring in new primitives, for developers to create more powerful products or to allow for new use cases, this thing, whatever we call crypto, I don't think really will take off, because I think we went into the mistake as an industry where we solved crypto problems for crypto people, as in being stuck in an echo bubble. And don't get me wrong, there's so many brilliant people out there that I saw that wanted to do many different things that I think would be fantastic. But either they fell short on, you know, distribution and BD, or investors never really took a chance on them because, you know, it's risky. It's risky. If you haven't been in the industry for a long time, the probability of you getting funding to do something fancy is low. And I thought, my God, like, this is not good. Let's try to change that. Let's try to learn from the past mistakes, but also in general solutions and systems. Design a system from bottom up, from first principles thinking. Adopt some design principles that we know works, but in a different place. In a different place, as in a different network that doesn't share the same limitations as some of the earlier generation networks such as Ethereum. Because the idea is rather simple. We know that, you know, compute is efficient if it's close to you. We know that applications, they don't need access to the same state at all times. And you can't build a reliable system if you're hoping for a certain outcome. It needs to be guaranteed to some level, right? Such that you can plan for event X, Y, Z. That was like the basis of Raikou. Because then it started as a research project and looked into many different distributed networks or L1s, and landed up in Solana because of many reasons. But it's a unique network from an architectural standpoint. It's a unique network from an ecosystem standpoint. And I think another thing that a lot of people miss is leadership. In my opinion, I think Solana has excellent leadership, from the Solana Foundation to, you know, ecosystem founders, is very aligned. So you don't have too much noise, and that's refreshing. So yeah, I'm not sure if this answered your question. It felt like I was just going on about many different things there, but yeah.
No, it was good. And it had me thinking about a few different things. And while I was thinking about this podcast, I was thinking about like application infrastructure cycles. And you kind of brought up, you know, being around for a long time and being early to certain blockchains that had limitations. And one of the questions I was going to save to ask at the end was sort of about this app infra cycle. And I think you kind of, the way you brought this up now, it kind of makes me want to ask it now. And you talk about Solana and you talk about the teams building on it. And, you know, I think about Double Zero, you know, building hardware. And I think about teams like Anza coming from the original client. You think about Jump, who's building, you know, Fire Dancer. And, you know, in my opinion, I was thinking, like, and prior to this, like, we're getting really close to the whole, the infrastructure piece of the puzzle being complete. And then, you know, I learned about Raikou and I go, I didn't even think about that. Now, I'm not a developer, but at the same time, I look into, I read some of the stats, I learn about it, and the transaction failing, and I go, wow, this makes a lot of sense. But this is people in leadership and developers and founders like yourself who have a greater vision than I do, which I love that for Solana. And so in your thinking, is Raikou one of the final bridges to pass from the infra to the app cycle so that we can actually really move forward with those badass consumer products? Or do you think that there's going to be more problems and you guys are just a really good part of the solution? I know I kind of went a few different ways there, but I think you know where I'm going with it.
Yeah. Well, we know one thing for certain, there's always going to be problems, right? I think it's more a matter of what the underlying vision and aim is. You know, Raikou started to... The goal is to ensure that we can meet the functional requirements as a whole for people who's building, you know, traditional web apps, you know, TradFi, whatever, such that when they look at this and they think, you know what, we can do something good here, it's not going to feel like a downgrade. It's either going to be equivalent or better than what they have today and the options they have in the future, right? And that's the only way we can achieve this dream of crypto where you know, enable access to opportunity on mostly an equal basis, right? It needs to be accessible. Now, then the question is, what does developers want? I know for a fact they don't want 1,000 different options because then things get complicated. You know, it's complexity. You need to look into, you know, the instructions of this and figure out its limitations, then go to another product and think, okay, now I can duct tape this into something that works. It needs to be simple. It needs to be simple yet powerful, which means, okay, well, that means that Raikou needs to be a vertically integrated or optimized stack, which helps you as a developer to deploy your application with ease. And then we handhold you through the very first process of this application is starting to users that is now adopting your application is generating transactions. Well, we will ensure that those transactions end up where you want them to end up with the properties that we allow for. We need to be from top to bottom, essentially. It needs to be easy. You can't introduce a shit ton of complexity to developers and to the market, right? So think about like the traditional example of Windows versus Apple. Windows gives a lot of power, but yeah, sure, there is so many different things going on. Apple, well, they allow the developer to create applications for all of their devices in a very uniform way. So that's where we're going. And we chose a point to, you know, start with. And that's what we're doing today, which is ensuring that we give developers a new way of building applications, which opens up markets for them. Now they can be different, finally, right? And to give an example, if you're a founder behind let's say Perptex, integrating with Raikou can mean the difference of having, you know, 10, 20 million in daily volume to 200, 300, 400 in daily volume, simply because the primitives that Raikou enables allows you to open up new markets, access new markets to stakeholders that wouldn't use your products because it was too limited in the first place. right? And that's huge, because the innovation has to be exponential, right? That gives you all the incentives as a builder to try this out. And then, sorry, I can stop there.
No. You got to finish the end then, and then I'll jump in.
I was going to say, historically, the challenge has been that, a blockchain is a network of many different stakeholders. And in an ideal world, you would think, all of these stakeholders have the same incentives and they're all aligned, happy days. But that's not true. That's not the case. So the challenge has been, how can I make the system as aligned as possible for all of these different stakeholders to create win-win? For node operators, to developers, to the core network as well. Think about a foundation and the core developers. That's difficult. And when you look at, many different ecosystems, most likely you will find that incentives are completely misaligned, right? And that makes it very difficult to operate in, as a whole. And this is also what we're solving for.
I like that. It's, reading about you and hearing the coordination layer, listening to you speak about what you're trying to do, it actually sinks in with what that means. And I know you guys are offering a couple of different products like AOT and different marketplaces. And I want to get into that. And maybe the right way to lead into it is you kind of brought up one example with a trading platform and how the product can assist trading platforms to get that execution. And what I want to know is the way that you envision sort of this coordination effort is that Raikou enables different types of products access to, say, different highways of transactions. On one side, you have high frequency trading because you need it to be the most and quickest. And maybe on one side, it's vote transactions because it's not about kind of how fast, it's just the guaranteed finality. And, you have meme coin trading. You've got different kind of products that would identify with different speeds and different trade-offs and therefore are willing to pay different amounts. Are you trying to think of a way to set them up into different highways? Is that a way to think about it?
Yeah, it is. That works. Another way I described it is that let's say you're a validator on the network today, a node operator. You sell a product, right? That product is Blockspace, which powers, the entire thing. It allows users and applications to interact with the network and to perform state updates. I can send one soul from, Robin to David and, back. That's what you sell. You sell Blockspace. You sell that Blockspace, though, to a very wide market, right? And different markets or verticals have, their own unique needs. So what Raikou allows is you take the Blockspace that you have today, you split it up into the different, different groups, different products that has unique attributes or unique features, which is then making a specific case for DeFi finance, and the other one might be for deepins, or off-chain AI or agents. So now you enable different products that have specialized features that opens up opportunities. And those different features, that they're local or regional fee markets in a way. Because right now, today, you have a global fee market because you have one type of Blockspace. But when you introduce different types, different products, those are individual markets. Did that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense. I think that give us a good time for you to explain as simply as you can what these new markets are. Explain ahead of time block auctions, and then let's talk about pre-confirmation marketplaces, which maybe that's the same thing, actually.
Yeah, it is the same to some extent. So first, what's ahead of time? It's kind of in the name, really, but you know, you reserve block space ahead of time. But then the question usually is, well, okay, how long ahead of time? What can I do with this? Or what does this unlock? Well, let's say you can reserve block space 6 hours or an hour in advance. And the difference is really the price point, right? That's the only difference. Okay, so Robin reserves block space 1 hour in advance. What does he get? Well, I get a receipt that says Robin owns this, which is block space 1 hour before the block will be produced. And that receipt is a promise, really, that whatever Robin sends into the block space that he now has reserved will execute, will be included, right? And the good thing about this is, okay, now I know that this event will happen that I think I want to push through, right? Because I've reserved this block space. And now you can start to plan, right? So if you're a hedge fund, or a market maker, you have strategies running in the background, and it gives you signals. Maybe it says, hey, Robin, you really need to think about this opportunity because it's probably going to come in the next 30 minutes. Be ready. All right, you get a signal. All right, now you can use that and book advance, book in advance. But this is programmatic, right? It's not like you go into a dashboard and you say, I want this at this particular time. You know, that would be rather tedious. So you interact with it programmatically. Everything is automatic. There's a market for who provides the best price stream, right? What is this block space even worth? Well, it's a hard problem because it's all about predicting what the demand in the future will be. So yeah, that's what it allows. You basically give much more flexibility to the developer or to the market who wants to interact with the network, with Solana. And this receipt that I mentioned, that's kind of the pre-confirmation, right? Because that's the credible commitment or the promise that you will be fine.
At the time of this receipt, are you pre-selecting a validator? Like, talk to me about, okay, Robin knows he wants to do something in 5 minutes. He makes that known, or programmatically, your scheduler makes it known. And then validators compete for that, or is it the other way around? Validators are sort of posting, if you want to play in our validator, these are our rates, and here's like a time curve. Like, how does that side of it play?
It's a good question. I think there's multiple questions there, actually. So first, is that validator pre-selected? Yes and no. So in Solana, you have an epoch, which means that you know this leader schedule. So who will produce blocks, you know, in advance? Then the question is, okay, does, you know, leader A have the Raikou sidecar installed? If the answer is yes, that means we can do some good stuff. Mm-hmm. If the answer is no, well, then we need to wait. But we only need to wait with the transactions that is using the ahead of time block space. With the others, we optimize the inclusion path. And by others, I mean the validators that does not have Raikou sidecar installed. So that would still work. Now, what's important here is, well, okay, what is then the coverage that Raikou has on validators? And in order to achieve efficiency, so basically Raikou produces if I could block every 50 milliseconds, you need roughly 10 to 15%. But we're already double that in the projected state weight coverage.
Okay.
It is different than real adoption, because we will only see that once we go mainnet. But you know, so far it looks good. Did that answer at least one of the questions?
Yeah. And it was about like, is it? I think my misunderstanding was around how the epoch plays out, and that there's actually a list, a schedule of who the leader will be. And so it depends on in what epoch do you want to pre-book a confirmation, as that will determine who it's going to be landing on. It's not that it's like an auction of who gets it. It's a matter of where you place it will determine who that leader is. And then you guys, if they already have Sidecar installed, it plays very easily. And I guess the follow-up question would be, let's hypothesize Robin wants to land in an epoch in 5 minutes. The leader doesn't have the sidecar. Does that mean that they miss that epoch? I think that's where I was a little confused. Would they get the next one, or how does that guarantee in there?
Yeah, so you will not be able to pre-book on an epoch which is in advance. Yeah. That's a limitation, because that's roughly 2.3 days on average. You will, however, be able to pre-book, in theory, it's up to 48 hours in advance, but I think that's going to be a bit tricky for the market to know, you know, what you want to have 2 days in advance. So we're probably going to set the time limit around either 6 hours or maybe even a bit shorter. In fact, this is something we're still figuring out, because it's about the marketplace mechanisms on what constitutes an efficient market, because this is all about economics, to be fair, at the end of the day. So that's, I think, an important clarification.
Okay. This is what I want to know. So you told me about how, you know, AOT can help teams and products that want to help with guaranteeing transaction finality and not having failing transactions. If I'm a trading product and I want to help guarantee my traders execution in times of high volatility, especially, is that part of what you guys are offering? Because you don't know when Solana is going to hit $250, and I want limit orders to go off and to execute. Is that something you guys are working to solve, or is that just a different kind of product?
No, it is. So we're dealing with the scenario that you describe right now. You will be able to achieve, you know, this sense of reliability on your end if you're a trading application on the L1 today. But if you want to optimize, you might want to introduce some new components into your architecture. This is what we call edge compute, where you're able to do some computation with an off-chain component that is receiving these pre-confirmations, where you are booking your block space exclusively for the use of your off-chain scheduler. And the great thing about that is, since you have a predictable order flow in an environment in which you control fully, now you have even more flexibility, because you can take many, many, many transactions, bundle them up into one, and then pop them down to the network, right? Like, this is what we've seen happen in you know, Ethereum, etc. Because we do know that centralized compute in many ways does make a lot of sense, but it's all depending on your use case, because they are very, very different. So one, if you're just on the L1, yes, we solve that. now it's more a matter of how you're interacting with this market, right, through the Raiku SDK and what your configs are there. If you would like to squeeze the juice out a bit more on, you know, the power, the scalability, then you can bundle a few more components into it, which is also what we will help with deploying this and connecting the dots. So, yeah.
That makes sense. It makes me think about like how Hyperliquid can perform its success, its performance, because of more centralized validation. And so what you're saying is, if you want to be an L1 native and you believe in full decentralization, et cetera, like that's your trade-off, we can help you there. But you're also saying, if maybe you want to build more of this sort of L2 idea on top of Solana, we can also help you there. So you're giving the builders flexibility in their architecture. You're not dictating which direction they need to go. Is that kind of fair?
Kind of, yes. I think it's important, though, to think about, I wouldn't adopt this thinking, oh, I now can create an L2. You can, if you would like, but I think there is better ways of, you know, achieving a great product. You can bundle them two together. So, for example, keep your L1 programs or contracts. They will run. But have this component that is supercharging to some extent what you can do. Now, if that goes down, it probably will still run because it falls back to the default contracts, the default logic.
Yeah. Right.
Now, if you would like to use this off-chain component for powering exclusively new products, well, that is up to you. We give you the tools, but I would think about bundling them together more than anything, because now you can create the next Hyperliquid, in fact, better, but it's still decentralized, right? You can still allow for the application logic that makes Hyperliquid so great. That's and ensure a quote-unquote Hyperliquid market by facilitating the market makers in the way they require. So it's more, and this is what we call edge compute, because you're adding something extra to what is already there and supercharging it.
Interesting. L2 is the wrong way of framing it. Off-chain compute, as you say, edge computing is more the right way of framing it. It kind of leads into a good question, like decentralization, you know, validators running this. And I'm going to lead that into, you know, you guys have brought up a new way of revenue creation for validators, which is epic. Is there any risk to you in regards to decentralization with regards to Raiku? Like, can any validator, big or small, adopt Sidecar and get access to this new revenue stream?
Yeah, and, pretty much.
And because of that, and what you just said about, if for some reason it fails, it just goes back to standard Solana Labs SDKs. So it's not like you guys are adding an extra risk layer. It would just be your nitrous in the car shuts off and now you're just burning gasoline.
Yeah. We're not introducing any new trust assumptions to the game.
Interesting.
So by that as well, we're not introducing another set of, you know, extra dependencies. So you'll still run as normal, you know, if shit hits the fan. You know, and that's important, because it's all about what risk exposure you as an application are exposing to your users. That's very important. So the way it has been designed from bottom up, it has certainly taken this into consideration. Did that answer your question?
Yes, it did.
Nice.
How do you see this playing out for, you know, long-term clients, long-term partnerships, people that are like, I like this tooling, I want to use it? Is it like a subscription? Are they signing a decentralized contract? Is it a one-off payment? Is it all of those things?
No. So there's different ways of using Raiku. The simplest way, and this day takes less than 30 minutes, is just to add a couple of endpoints where you send your transactions to. But that comes with limited features because you're not able to interact with the marketplace of ahead of time block auctions. If you want to adopt that and also utilize the true power of the rollover between AOT and JIT, you need to use the SDK. Now, this doesn't take too long, a couple of hours for you to integrate, because primarily you just want to ensure that your config is right, such that you are reserving, whatever you need on a programmatic basis. Then the question is, okay, well, how can I, do I need to, pay a subscription or not? No, you need to have enough money in the account to buy the products, right? So, and that's it really. It's not more complex than that. Now, if you do those two things or one of them, you will access all the powerful primitives that Raiku offers. If you want to take it one step further, because you have the optionality, that's with the edge compute. Now, from early days, and what I mean by that is, around mainnet, we will offer a template for people to fork and easily spin up their edge compute environment. But a couple of months after mainnet, we will have a product, a developer console that you can pretty much log into and deploy it with ease, a couple of clicks, and then connect it to the rest of your stack that you have. So that, I guess, would be the third step, but that's for later.
This.
Cool. What's Raiku's financial component? Like, what's your guys's economy when it comes to providing this marketplace? Is it a fee included in each transaction? Where does the cost of providing the service, and I mean this in a good way, because good products should earn money. And I'm just curious where that and maybe you don't have the answer yet because you guys are in growth mode, but I'm just curious to get a sense of how you guys think about that.
So there are many different revenue streams for Raiku as a protocol, as a network. It mostly all comes down to these different marketplaces that we're enabling. And honestly, it's going to function in a very similar way that you would look at an L1, right? How does the L1 make money? Well, people using it and pushing transactions through. Same way with Raiku. Now, the only difference is Raiku enables more specialized block space products that is targeted for specific verticals. And those will have a premium because they're more powerful, right? And this is where the marketplace comes in. So most of it will be centered around there, but there's also other components, which like revenue streams, which is attached to global accounts as a component that we haven't really spoken much about. But from the very beginning, there will be four very tangible native revenue streams for the overall Raiku economy and the Raiku token, and more to come. So,
Raiku token. Lovely.
yes.
Nice.
So, the Raiku token is very important. It's integral to how Raiku will work in the same way it is integral to an L1.
Interesting.
But with a different purpose. So it will be natively used in many, many different ways for all the different stakeholders.
Interesting. And you may not be able to say, and you can just tell me, is that in terms of, discounting you know, network security, some form of revenue share? Is it governance? You know, you may not be able to say, but I like to ask anyways.
It's a good question. We will publish a paper on this soon. So you can get the specifics. What I can say is that it's not going to be a pure governance token. There'll be more.
I love that. I love that. All right. Well, rounding out, I wanted to ask you about this sort of proof streaming, because, you know, you just touched on the fact that you probably have a bunch of other stuff we haven't even begun to get into, but I imagine we could be here all day with it. Tell me about proof streaming. And let's start with that.
Yeah. So proof streaming, what is that? Well, the idea is that you take a proof, which is essentially, you know, big, and you split it up into smaller components and you stream it down to the underlying network. And the way you do that is you reserve a sequence of slots, tickets, or block space, and you send the transaction of those,
you know,
small packets of the larger proof in sequence. And then you stream it down for later verification. And in this way, you can allow for different proof types that isn't working today because you are limited by the inherent restrictions of packet sizes, etc. So that's proof streaming in a nutshell. It's not something we are focusing too much on now because we're setting the foundations for, you know, the engine that will run this in the first place. But it's more of a use case more than a product, because proof streaming as a product is really a user utilizing the different, you know, primitives that we allow for in just a very cohesive way to achieve this as an outcome. Did that make sense?
Yeah, and it's like privacy being maybe one of those primitives. So it's your focus is building the kind of the rails, getting the adoption, proving that it's going to do on main and what it's meant to do. And then once we get that security, that performance, whatever buzzword you want to throw in there, we're saying, well, now that we have that, we also can open up the door to these other things. And then we begin to explore what else is possible when you stop failing transactions, when you're able to book ahead and those kinds of things. Well, now you could do it privately booking ahead, but it's sort of walk before run type situation.
Step by step. So proof streaming is very aligned with edge compute. Now, edge compute will double down on after we've gone mainnet with Raiku as it is today to then further build, you know, the capabilities of edge compute, and proof streaming will be a part of that pretty much. So step by step, but in theory, you can achieve proof streaming from day one once we go mainnet. It's just going to be a bit more work.
That's super cool. And when do we hypothesize mainnet, can we say?
Early 26.
Like it.
Early 26.
Yeah, that's fair.
Let's go.
I love it. Well, sir, this has been really, really insightful. And I really like doing these podcasts when it forces me to learn a little bit more, you know, dig under the hood, you know, get a little uncomfortable, but ultimately, you know, learn more about what people are building, especially when it stems to increase the performance of Solana, the network that I love so much. So thank you for that. Yeah. Thanks for coming on and teaching us something. Is there anything you want to leave the guests with, whether it's join the Discord, how to get involved? Are you looking for anything?
Oh yes. We're hiring big time.
Okay.
So please check that out. And then every week we will have builder chats in the Discord community just to hear, you know, is there any requirements from other applications that we haven't necessarily taken into account, or for developers who have certain questions of how they can mix and match the different primitives? We'll host that every week as well. So yeah, if you're curious, join Discord.
Okay.
And have a look at the roles.
And sir, what's your Twitter and how can they find Raikou?
My Twitter, Degen Root. Simple.
Loves that. Okay.
Good.
Thanks for coming on, Robin. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. You betcha.
Yeah, just
running lean and running mean. Yeah. I love that, dude. Yeah.